Quarterback of the Eskimos, Mike Riley, joins us once again. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jason. How about yourself?
Excellent. Have you been able to golf at all yet? Have you and Nichols had any battles?
You know what? I heard your little lead-in talking about playing with Kevin Karius. And, you know, the water must have been on the left side there because I know he swings it lefty, and he's got that nasty slice. So
yeah, you're right.
I can't say that that surprises me. But, no, I haven't got out to play. I have played a number of times with Kevin before the season. Honestly, he usually beats me. But, you know what? I haven't been able to get out and swing him lately.
Whoa. Kevin Karius beats you? Like, you're obviously you're not a good golfer then.
That's clearly not true.
That's embarrassing.
I just threw him under the bus for his slice. I had to try to build him back up a little bit.
Okay. So. Did you bet him ever? Because he still owes me and Storms money from 2 years ago. It's the worst welcher of a bet ever.
You know what? I've never bet him. I have been his teammate along with Matt and Murray from the ranch at a tournament in Innisfail. And I think we took like third. So I left that tournament with a couple of free Vokey wedges.
Oh, nice.
I think Nichols got a Scotty Cameron. I mean, I can't complain about that.
Oh, nice. So Murray carried the team is what you're telling me.
You know what? I actually carried the front nine. Thank you very much. I don't want to talk about what happened on the back nine. But at least for half of a round of golf, I was playing pretty spectacular.
Hey, that's outstanding. I like it. The Edmonton Eskimos, you guys as a team didn't get the start you wanted. They scored in the first drive, and everyone's like, uh-oh. But after that, it really kind of got where you wanted. Three touchdown passes for you in that game. Mike, you've had a chance to look over the film. I know you're preparing for Hamilton. We'll get to that in a sec. But when you looked over the film, what did you like about the offense, and what were the things you felt like you wanted to improve at from you as an individual?
You know, there was definitely some good things on the tape. I liked how diverse our offense was. I mean, I think we threw more screen passes in the first game than we did collectively all of last year. So that was nice just to distribute the ball around, keep the defense guessing a little bit. They weren't really able to pin their ears back and just rush, on the passing attack because we were getting the ball out of my hand pretty quickly out on the perimeter to Adarius. And to Schmott and guys like that. I liked that when we got into the red zone on the one occasion, we caught, got Freddie wide open on a play that we've been working on during the week. And so just some of the game planning stuff coming together, I really liked that. But there were definitely some things to work on. I think on two drives, we had to settle for field goals, one of which we were down on like the 5-yard line and we weren't able to punch it in. We missed a pass on the first play. And then we got stuffed on a QB counter on the second play. So, those type of things, we were able to overcome those. But when you're down in the red zone, especially on the 5-yard line, you want to come away with touchdowns instead of field goals. So there was certainly room for improvement. But overall, to be able to go into BC Place in Vancouver and get a win when very few teams have been able to do that and to start the season in that fashion, I was definitely happy with that.
You talk about red zone execution, Mike, and that was a huge issue last year. And I know that last year is in the past, and it's a total new offense, a total new coaching staff, a lot of new guys. When you get into the red zone, talk about the difference in the mentality that's maybe necessary to ensure when you're inside the 10, especially, it's going for 7 and not 3.
You know, you got to have perfect execution because Your playbook does get limited a little bit. The defenders know that you're obviously not going to throw the ball 30 yards downfield. You don't have enough space for it. I mean, even with the big end zones, they can still prevent you from utilizing your entire playbook. So they can be more aggressive. So at that time, everybody's got to be on the same page. Everything happens faster in the red zone than it does in the field of play. And because of that, any mistake, I think, is magnified much greater down in the red zone. And so, if you got a play in the field of play that one guy maybe screws up on, it may not hurt you too bad, or your drive may end, but you're punting and you get good field position against them. But down in the red zone, one guy screws something up, you're going to notice it and you're going to walk away with a field goal or a turnover instead of 6 points. And again, like I said, it didn't cost us this time because we were able to do some other things well, but we got to come away with touchdowns for sure, and that's something that we're going to continue to improve on.
Mike Riley joins us, quarterback of the Eskimos, taking on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Mike, I know you're not on special teams, but you watch a Matt Nichols, 1-for-1 in passing, coming out of the snapper's position to the on that fake field goal that led, of course, to a touchdown. A, do you know that call is coming at that time? And how much excitement does that add into the sidelines when you have a coach who's willing to call those type of plays, not only on field goals but also on kickoffs?
Oh, you know, those are awesome plays. I knew that we had that play in during the week. Me and Matt had talked about it quite a bit. I think Matt threw his first career touchdown pass on a broken field goal play
right,
to Corbin Sharoon a few years back. But so I was talking to him, and I was like, hey, man, you know, you better keep that efficiency up. This better go for a touchdown. So I knew that the play was in during the week. Coming off to the sideline, you know, I'm trying to get with the wide receivers and talk about the drive and see what maybe we screwed up on and what we can improve on. But by the time the field goal team is out there, I'm not even to the bench yet to talk to those guys. So I had no idea that it was coming. But as soon as I heard our sidelines start to cheer, I knew exactly what had happened. And that definitely gives everybody a boost. You know, it's an added possession. If I'm not mistaken, we finished that drive off with a touchdown pass.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a difference in 4 points minimum right there. You know, and there's opportunities all over the field. You know, Coach Dickinson and Coach Jones, they put their heads together, you know, long before the season started. I remember going into their offices and them being excited about different, you know, possibilities, you know, way back in January and February. So, you know, just to see the work that they put in and the crazy ideas that they come up with, but, you know, knowing that if we execute them correctly, they're going to work, that's big time. You know, that can shift the entire momentum of a football game and get you a win just by itself.
Mike, due to the weather conditions in Saskatchewan, I'm not sure how much you got to see of Saskatchewan's defense other than their run defense, because Saskatchewan had to run the ball so much and Hamilton, you know, didn't do a great job of it. So do you expect to exploit that, or how much can you take out of film in a game that was played in such adverse conditions, which likely isn't going to be the case on Friday?
You know, rain games are tough. There's no question about it. It's tough on the offense. It's tough on the defense. It does turn into a ground and pound type of game. You know, in Saskatchewan for the last little bit, especially last year, has had a really good running attack. Their offensive line, they got some good players on that front five, you know, and they're able to pound the ball up the middle. And even with Corey Sheets gone, they were still able to execute really well. And that's imperative in any game in the CFL, you know. Even we were able to run the ball decently well against BC, and I say run the ball, and that's not necessarily just with Tyler, but if it's me taking off, or even just our little swing screens or our zone read plays that we're throwing flat routes to, those are still called run plays, you know, and so we were able to execute pretty well on those, but we need to continue to get better at that. I think Hamilton's got a pretty good defense, you know. I think that's a team that played in the Grey Cup last year, and they've got some good players over there on the ball. It's tough when you travel on the road, especially the first game of the season. Regina's not an easy place to play in. And you add that to the weather conditions, you know, that's going to be a tough place to go in and get a win. You know, but they didn't perform as well as they wanted to, I'm sure, and they're going to be hungry to come out and prove that that was a bit of a fluke. So, you know, I have no problem saying that they're a good football team, that we got to come out and we got to execute extremely well in order to get that win. But I'm confident that that's exactly what we're going to do.
Mike, the one thing you talked about as a leader and wanting to change the attitude of your team when it came to Commonwealth Stadium, a hard place for visiting teams to come into, and that hasn't been the case for a long time. It's the first home game. How important, what's the message that's being sent this week for guys so they know that, as you guys say, this is your house and it's got to be difficult to come into? How do you get that attitude change to happen on Friday night?
You know, we've talked about it a lot since the beginning of training camp that, you know, Commonwealth is our home turf, and we're not going to let anybody come into our house and push us around, you know. And so I think that the guys know that. I think that the coaching staff has done a really good job of letting the new guys know how important that is, and also letting the veterans know, hey, you know, take this place over, make this your own. So, you know, I think with our performance on Friday, or Saturday, I'm sorry, in BC, I think that people, you know, the Edmonton Eskimo fan base got a little bit of taste of what we're all about for 2014. But, you know, that was a game on the road, so they saw it on TV. And we're hopeful that people like what they saw and they want to come out and see it in person. So hopefully that place will be rocking on Friday. You know, and we put on a good performance and get a win, you know, those things just kind of snowball. I mean, that's the biggest thing is you can talk all you want, but in order to get people in the stands, you got to win football games. And so that's our main focus is doing whatever we have to do to get a win on Friday. And then we'll worry about the next one after that. But this is the first home game, and it's definitely an important one.
Mike Riley, quarterback of the Eskimos, joins us. They take on the Tiger Cats Friday night at Commonwealth. Mike, at any level when you played quarterback, did you ever play on special teams or on punt?
Yeah, actually, I kicked field goals when I was in high school.
Okay.
But other than that, no, I was not running down, busting apart any wedges or anything like that.
Like, I'm just asking, like, what, like, Pat White, we're seeing his versatility. He's an up back on the punt team. That's got to, you know, kind of fire guys up because it's not something you see very often, the quarterback on punt team.
Yeah, again, it just shows the creativity of Chris Jones and Coach Dickinson to kind of think outside the box a little bit. You know, Pat's a really athletic guy, and, you know, he, obviously only one guy is going to be on the field at quarterback, but that doesn't mean you just want to take his athleticism and let it go to waste. So I think that they're doing a great job of being creative, finding different ways to get him on the field, and it just gives the other team a headache to think about. You know, I mean, we haven't really, you know, all we've shown so far is just, you know, regular punts out of that formation. So it's not just a gimmick. It's something that we can line up in and actually punt the ball like we normally would. But it gives other teams, you know, it gives them something to think about, like, what else could they possibly do out of this? Because that guy is an athletic person. It just, you know, it just gives them another thing to spend their time during the week working on. And, you know, if at some point in time we're able to use his athleticism in different aspects on the field, you know, I'm sure that we're not going to hesitate to do that. It's a weapon that we certainly can use.
And one last one for you, Mike. I know you're a big football guy, and I don't know how closely you've been watching it, but Jimmy Graham, of course, was appealing to try to get his status changed from a tight end to a wide receiver, more so he could get more money. That was turned down. They ruled because 54% of the snaps, he lined up within 4 yards of the offensive tackle. Oh, what do you make of that? I know the tight end isn't really used a lot in the CFL, but do you think he's changing it, or is he still a tight end and just the position is evolving?
No, that guy's a wide receiver. I mean, that to me, honestly, it's kind of a joke. They're trying to take a guy who catches more balls than most wide receivers and catches a ton of touchdowns, you know, and is out running a route the majority of his snaps on the field, you know, but they don't want to pay him like a wide receiver. Okay, well, tell me what he is. Like, what defines a wide receiver? You have to line up, you know, more than 4 yards away from the tackle. I mean, I don't know. That just, to me, I don't know. It's just it's a fine print detail that they're using to try to save some money, but I think that guy's earned the right to get paid because he's a headache. I don't care if it's a linebacker, a safety, or a cornerback trying to defend him. They're going to have a difficult time. So, you know, if you don't want to pay him like a wide receiver, then don't utilize him in the passing game. This is, I guess, my argument there. But, you know, I'm sure he's going to make a pretty decent amount of money either way, but you know, I think that's the wrong decision.
Mike, always good to talk to you. Enjoy the game on Friday night. Best of luck.
Thanks a lot, Gregor. I appreciate it.